Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for teachable hearts, rich soil to receive your engrafted word, Lord, and to have root in ourselves with honest, good and honest hearts to bear fruit now and unto everlasting life, in Jesus' name. All right, Colossians questions, 7 questions about those who are reading through the book of Colossians, 4 chapters. We talked about how if we read through a book in the Bible several times, I would suggest 10 to 20 times, straight through. Colossians is only 4 chapters. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you read 2 chapters a day, it would just take 2 days, you finish the book. But reading it all the way through and gaining a knowledge of the divinely inspired transmission, and that makes way for the conveyance of the divine truth of God to be made known in our hearts. That is a great thing to do. It's important to talk about Bible study, which is the most important endeavor in our lives. Brother David has shared several things with me that he's welcome to share about different. There's so many different approaches. There's topical study, you know, where you take a topic, you'll go throughout Scripture, and in order to gain the mind of Christ on any topic, you want to study that topic all the way through Scripture. We've all run into, and we've all been people, obviously, where we went off half-cocked, as the saying goes, where we had a little bit of knowledge, but enough to hurt us. Have you heard that?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and constantly, every day, we're ministering to people. We must do that with love, because God's love and wisdom has to be the foundation for what we're doing, not to win an argument, but to win a soul, to win a person over to the truth with grace and peace. And so anyway, as we study to show ourselves approved, studying the whole of Scripture, we're going to become a whole disciple. Amen. And there's also the concept of mastering a book. Mm. When you master a book, you become... well, I don't want to say an expert on it, but you become very knowledgeable in that book. And by the way, these study resources are to do exactly that, to make you give you the ability and the blessing to master, in this case, the book of Colossians. And you can go anywhere and teach it, and then after that, you just go on to another book. Amen? And it's PDFs, the study guides on safeguardyoursoul.com/Colossians. And by the way, thank you if you are tuning in to this Safeguard Your Soul podcast. Amen. Safeguard Your Soul is a website designed and built to be a resource for the body of Christ. There's also a Peace with God button at the top left where you can use that as a link or cut and paste the words in it to lead people to Jesus. I use it all the time. And there's just no telling how many people have gotten saved. You don't have to rewrite the plan of salvation. It's already penned for you right there. Amen. And we're to be communicators. Philemon 1:6 speaks of that the communication, I love that word, of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we feel like, well, I'm not going to stand on a soapbox on the street corner and preach. Well, I like that word communication. I really like that word. We are to communicate the gospel, the good news, the original gospel from the Holy Scriptures. So here's a rhetorical question for those that are studying Colossians with us, first of all, every book of the Bible, every word, every paragraph is to reveal Christ, who said, search the Scriptures, and then he said, they are they which testify of me. Throughout Scripture, we see that the Bible, the words of Scripture, not somebody else's book, but the words of Scripture, God's book, reveal Christ in the hearts of his people. So have you read Colossians several times thus far? Just a rhetorical question, and that is to grasp the divine, as we said earlier, the divine transmission and the gain and knowledge of this letter that is given us from the divine person of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, that is, to the church. And then the second question, and feel free to chime right in, what Bible verses from the book of Colossians as a result of your study of Colossians, previous to this study and now, which one of the verses or passages are becoming strong components of the foundation of God in your personal life? And before, while you guys are thinking about that, I love Colossians 3, 1 through 4, which I love to wake up to this passage, one of the two passages in particular I read every morning. And it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, this just recalibrates you, you know. I don't know about y'all. I'm just born after the flesh. I got to be recalibrated, and, you know, I can get as carnal as a billy goat, if you will, as some would say, just like anybody else. That's a good way, kind of an ugly way of putting it, but it's the truth. In fact, this chapter, Brother David, as you know, goes on to talk about putting off the old man, that old billy goat, right, and put on the new man. Okay, so if you, Colossians 3, 1 through 4, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye, it's a good word to circle, also appear with him in glory. Do you see a condition there? Who's he talking about that is going to appear with Christ? Those that are doing what? They're risen with Christ, have been born again. They're seeking the kingdom of God. They're seeking those things which are above, where Christ, yeah, exactly, is seated at the right hand of the Father. They're setting their affection on things above, verse 2, not on the things of the earth. And they are dead, and their life is hid with Christ in God. That's the daily cross, which Jesus says you must take up to follow him. Those are the people he's talking about in verse 4 when he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, Jesus is coming, amen, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. And Brother David, I know that you talked about in the beginning of this study, chapter 2, feel free, by the way. Oh, yeah, okay. This is a big letter Bible here, if you need it, anybody needs it.
I'm looking for a King James study that's a big letter, giant letter.
Oh, yeah, we'll get you one, brother.
No, okay. I'm looking for one. No,
oh, yeah. chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, Brother David, you pointed out as being paramount to the understanding and the instruction of God in this book. And if you got that and want to read it, man, go right ahead.
Yeah, Colossians 2, verse 6 says, ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Amen. So as you've gotten saved, right, he says you've been saved. Now this is written to Christians. So as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, I love John 1:12, as many as what? Received him. That's a very important word when you're ministering, by the way, and in your understanding of your relationship with Christ. John 1:12 uses the same word, John 1:12, linking with Colossians 2:6. When the Apostle Paul writes, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, he didn't say you're free to just go live your life any way you like. No, you've entered into a relationship. So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. God wants to bring us deeper, amen? Mm-hmm. In the Christian community, there's a saying called You know, you can buy books that are deeper life books. You know, deeper life books. In fact, I want to point you to a new one we have, saints. What next, now that you're saved? How to Walk with Jesus Daily. Amen? Mm-hmm. And beautiful book. Small book. I think it's only about 112 pages, seven chapters. And it's rooted, it's actually been written, I believe, led by the Spirit, full of Scripture, in order to help the body of Christ, individual saints and groups that are made up by individual saints who have received Christ, to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Amen. To have deep roots running down deep. We talked about yesterday driving around Buena Vista, Colorado, how when you see these streams and these creeks and rivers running through the mountains and stuff, it's so beautiful. The richest trees are the ones whose roots are right by that creek or river and actually drinking right straight out of that water. And that's the biggest tree line you're going to see, if you've ever noticed. The trees that are right next to the creeks, amen, they're rooted and built up, amen, and established in the faith. And those trees are established in the ground as we're established and becoming more deeply established in Christ, amen. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I was telling Sister Debbie this weekend that I saw a church sign, man, long time ago, Bro Jeez, like in North Alabama where I got saved years ago. And I'll never forget it. I memorized it right on the spot. It said, an oak tree is an acorn that held its ground. Mm. Amen. An oak tree is an acorn that held its ground. Amen. Psalm 92 talks about being, same principle here that we're reading in Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Psalm 92, I believe it's about verse 12 and 13. And I'll read that. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house or in the kingdom, the family of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. And here's the result. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. Their life is a testimony of God's goodness. Amen. Mm-hmm. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Man, that is good. That's the end of Psalm 92. Amen. Okay, what other verses are you finding in the book of Colossians that really stand out to you?
I really like Colossians 1, verses, let's see, I've got several on here, but verses 21 through 23. Mm. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. My favorite part of this, the part that just keeps ringing through my head and my heart, is, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's my favorite.
That's a condition, isn't it, sister?
Yes,
it Amen. Is. Notice what he says here. In verse 22, in the body of his flesh, that is, Jesus redeemed us and bought us with the blood of his own cross. Verse 20, I love that. Bracketed that in my Bible and memorized it. Verse 20, the blood of his cross. Amen. Boy, that's the only time that appears in the Bible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Colossians 1:20, just in that wording. Not the theme or the topic of it or the truth of it, but the wording. And having made peace, how do we have peace between God and man, fallen mankind? It's through the blood. Jesus made peace through the blood of his cross, amen, by him, that is the Father made peace through and by Jesus, mm-hmm. in order, why? To reconcile, to restore relationship, amen, all things unto himself. Then in verse 22, as Sister Debbie was pointing out, 22 and 23, in the body of his flesh through death, amen, Jesus' physical body had to be broken. That's why we take the bread in remembrance. And the significance of that body being broken, his body, is that it allowed for the blood of Jesus not to be spilled, but to be shed. Some people probably unwittingly, like to use the word, he spilled his blood. No, spilled is an accident. The King James Bible says shed. He deliberately shed his blood, Matthew 26:28. And, you know, Titus 2:1, I love it. It says that we are to make sure that we're speaking, see that thou speak those things which become sound doctrine. The more we memorize Scripture, the more we can meditate on it, the more we read it, and it becomes engrafted and written on the tables of our hearts, the more we're going to speak the Word of God. By the way, I'm talking about the King James Bible. If you're listening to me and you speak English, which I assume you do, otherwise you wouldn't be listening, please get a King James Bible, beloved. It's the real Bible. All the other ones are frauds, to put it lightly, demonic frauds. God gave no man the permission to change his word. You can check that out, safeguardyoursoul.com/Bible versions issue/. Okay, so Jesus died to present the body of Christ, what? How? Holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, you know, it could be easy to read over that, but are you ready to be presented right now if Jesus were to return in the next second or minute or few minutes or hour? Would you be ready? Are you following Christ in an abiding relationship according to what he has prescribed, that is, given us in the Scriptures exclusively? Would you be ready to be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight? Are there any blemishes on your garment, beloved? The good news is that you can confess that sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus bled to save you, and he now ever liveth to make intercession for you as the great intercessor, Hebrews 7:24-26, at the right hand of the Father. He presently and forever lives to provide what he died to purchase. Amen. I love that. Jesus Christ, the great intercessor, ever lives to provide what he died to purchase. Man, that's exciting when we start getting that revelation of Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, and we can come boldly, amen? Hebrews 4:14-16, by his blood to the Father. God knows all the things we've done anyway. We just might as well get honest and say, Lord, you already know this, but I did that and this, and confess it for what it is, a sin. Return to the Lord in repentance, amen? 1 John 1:7 says, if, conditional, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So not only will we be washed initially, but we must be washed continually. Amen. And that's what Jesus taught Peter and all the church in the 13th chapter of John, when he said those that have been washed already, initially washed, born again, the washing of regeneration, right? Titus 3:5-6. Mm-hmm. They need only their feet and their hands to be washed. You know, see the symbolism in that. When you sin, it's normally because you're using your hands or your feet.
Yes.
And so if you'll come before the Lord, right, and confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus is so amazingly, infinitely, divinely blessed that it even cleanses your conscience all the way inside of you. You ever have anything bother you? I mean, I've had things come up from years ago. I know none of y'all sinned years ago. I did, though. Every honest person's laughing about right now, right? And it would bother me. And even this week, I don't know what it was. And I know, came up, and I love to pace the floor, guys, and just pray and speak. Philippians 3:13-14. Forgetting those things which are behind. I was in that
Right.
Red Deer Chalet room, man, at the Cross Conference. It was good. I love to get alone like that. And just walk back and forth. And I just said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that I can forget. That means something to me. Cut it off. Amen. I can forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. You know, your whole present and future, where you stand now and where you're heading. Amen. Pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Wow. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit's in you, and you kind of get that. And I'm not even going to dare to try to explain it. But there's something that happens. It happens in me as it will in any believer. I love that, man. The Bible isn't just something to have head knowledge of, man. It's your ammo when you pray, man. You pray the Word, it's going to happen. Amen. That's what we're to do. Pray the Word of God. That's why it's so important. One of the reasons, one of the cardinal reasons why it's so important to know the Scriptures. Remember, my people have destroyed for lack of knowledge. So, verse 22, Sister Debbie, Colossians 1, and Paul speaking of being presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I can tell you this, just because I can read, I don't want to die with sin in my life. No reason to. If I got sin in my life right now, whose fault is that? Christ's blood's already paid the price for it. But He requires that all men everywhere repent and confess your sins. That's your duty. That's your responsibility. In fact, I think I've got something. If I can pull it up quick enough. Let's see. By A.W. Brother A.W. Tozer. Anybody like some of the quotes, Brother Tozer?
Yeah.
Man, he's got some good stuff. So just buying a little time here. Let's see. Tozer? Maybe I just wrote it with Tozer. Dr. Tozer, here it is. Wow, all right. A.W. Tozer said this, we must of our own free will repent toward God and believe in Jesus Christ. This the Bible plainly teaches. This experience abundantly supports. Repentance involves moral reformation. The wrong practices are on man's part, and only man can correct them. Lying, for instance, is an act of man, and one for which he must accept full responsibility. That's what he's getting at, personal accountability here in this quote. And then he finishes with this. When he repents, when the individual man repents, he will quit lying. God will not quit for him. He will quit for himself. Now, when I was reading that the first time, you know, Acts 17:30 came to mind. God commands all men everywhere to repent. God isn't going to repent for you. He's called you to participate. And that's not only initially, Brother David, as you know, Brother Jay. God has called us into a relationship. Sometimes we, in all of our getting of and hearing messages and all, we never stop hardly unless I'm missing something, and kind of focus in again and become just saturated with the idea of the truth given to us by Jesus in John 17:3, where he says, this is life eternal. This is the whole reason for it. Not so you can play religion or just join a church or, you know, of course, that's not even New Testament anyway, the way we do it today. We are the church as soon as we're born again.
Club.
But, yeah, or, you know, they call it churchianity. No, and pastors, a lot of them, that's all they want. They want you to, you know, they're looking at nickels, noses, and numbers, not your eternal soul and your relationship with Christ. But Jesus says, this is life eternal. Here it is, the whole purpose for it. The chief purpose is that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I don't know about you, man, that just harpoons relationship, doesn't it? Christianity is not about religion, it's about relationship, period. Don't ever forget those two R's. For your own life and when you minister to others. If you're listening to my voice, this wretched, undeserving sinner, I got saved by a lady that started talking about relationship. Personal relationship with Christ. In contrast to religion, which is all I ever knew. And she had a relationship with Jesus, and that was so obvious, it was tangible because of the love, the joy, the peace, the beautiful Holy Spirit producing those fruits in her life as she was abiding in Christ. Her and several others, by the way. It's about relationship. It's not about religion. And I want you to memorize John 17:3, by the way. Jesus said in his prayer to the Father that we would become one with him and the Father, that speaks in the Greek of interpenetration, even as he and the Father were one. That's a great prayer. Lord, let me become one with you. You know, if we're becoming one with God, he's pushing out all that stuff that causes us to do the things that don't please him. That's, you know, for many years I wrestled with the sin. Anybody else ever do that?
No.
Okay, I'm the only one. I'll confess that sin too. You're taking a bull by the horns. It isn't going to work. It's not going to work.
Mm-mm.
Sin, a sinful person cannot overcome sin. A sinless person can, and he lives inside of you if you're born again. His name is Jesus, amen. And he'll overcome that sin if you will lay down your life. But, you know, he's not going to do it until we give up and say, Lord, not my will be done. You must increase, and I must decrease. Anoint me, Lord, to the death and burial of self so that you can raise me up in your grace and your glory and power and strength. Amen. That's the cross. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus enacted in the consenting believer every day. So Jesus is going to present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If, notice the condition, verse 23. Great passage, by the way, Sister Debbie. If, there it is again, that's a three-letter word that is a nightmare to those who are deceived into thinking that once saved, always saved is biblical, or Calvinism. It's conditional. Salvation is conditional, initially and ongoing, not unconditional. That is a lie from the pit of hell. By the way, earlier, Brother David and I were talking, about getting a good study Bible that's King James. I recommend Life in the Spirit study Bible right here. Good one. He gives you good, helpful notes that stick straight to the Scripture and help you walk through Scripture. And he's non-OSAS. In other words, he believes the biblical view of salvation, which is conditional, not unconditional. Also, he's Pentecostal. I'm not talking about the denomination. I'm talking about being baptized with the Holy Ghost, which if you're going to be used of Jesus, you're going to have to follow him to Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued, clothed upon, that means, with power from on high. We cannot do the ministry of Christ in our own power. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus sent men where? To seminary? Never. Never did, never will. He sent them to the cross and then Pentecost. Amen? Almost a little rhyme in that you pointed out recently. Huh? Okay, so it's only if we're going to be presented unreprovable, unblameable, spotless in the sight of the Lord, if we continue. Didn't Jesus teach that? I'm being a little facetious. John 15, Jesus taught about the abiding. That means to remain, to continue in him. Abiding in him according to his prescription. And you can't know that. I can't know that unless we're reading Christ and his apostles and prophets. Amen? All right, so if you continue in the faith, grounded. There it is again, isn't it? That sound like what we just read over here in Colossians 2, 6, and 7, right? Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. There's the same divine import right there. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. In other words, there's no excuse. For all of us today, we got a Bible. We don't have any excuse. Well, I went to church, Lord. You're going to hear it on Judgment Day. Jesus gave us a little preview there in Matthew 7. I cast out devils. I did all kinds of good works. I was a part of the church. I sang in the choir. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. This is all about knowing Jesus. And if you want to know him, you're going to be seeking him in his word and walking in the spirit with him and have a life of prayer. If you're not doing those things, you've already backslidden. Either you knew him in the past or you've never knew him. Good news is that you can repent right away because today is the day of salvation and be saved before it's too late. Okay, so do we have any other verses that we want to kind of point out in Colossians that are golden nuggets? Amen?
Chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. I have it rich in God and rich towards God.
Mm-hmm. Verse 9 and 10. Go for it, brother.
I call it the Daddy Power Pack.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And here it is. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Amen. I love that,
Peter,
brother.
Says another way, we have been given everything we need for life and godliness.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing. You don't need anything else. From the time of Jesus appearing and his teaching and his substitutionary atonement, his work on Calvary completed, and the sending of the apostles, ye are complete in him.
We're complete in Christ. And look at, notice the, I mean, it doesn't get any richer than that, brother, or more important. That's good. Verse 9 and 10 of the second chapter of Colossians.
Towards us, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In verse 8, he's warning.
Yes.
As these are connected. Beware so that no man, lest any man spoil or ruin you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, we've got today this scam and farce of Christian, so-called Christian psychology. Absolutely. And Christian psychiatry. Those are absolutely diametrically opposed. There's no such thing. And people calling themselves Christian psychologists, I don't care how nice they are or how much of a supposed education they have, they're absolutely deceived and deceiving others. For example, drugging people for a spiritual problem is diabolical at best. We never do that. Jesus never sent anybody to the drugstore. Notice I'm talking about a spiritual problem, not a physical. You know, Luke was a physician. They're going to pull my teeth, man, give me some drugs. I don't want to feel that. But that's different than a spiritual problem, you see? Rightly dividing things. Jesus, man's core issue is what? Sin. And who's the solution? Christ, the Savior. Remember the two S's. Sin and the Savior. We got a post on safeguardyoursoul.com called Man's Core Problem, I think. Just look up the word core in the search box, C-O-R-E. Drugging people for a spiritual or mental state or problem is never God's will. To seek a cure outside of Christ is antichrist. A denial of Jesus and what he told us that he came to do, for example, in Luke 4:18. And Luke 4:18 says what? The Spirit, why did Jesus come to the earth? Listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's quoting Isaiah 61, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 60 or 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because, he's announcing it right here, his mission. Because he hath anointed me. For what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. And recovering of sight, namely spiritually, to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. True Christians are preaching like Jesus was doing right here. They're announcing Christ. They're preaching the gospel to the poor. Those that are poor in spirit because they don't have Christ yet in this context. They're not giving them drugs. That's counterfeit. Okay? this is something typical I hear all the time. Oh, brother, but you don't understand. I have mental problems. Or my son or daughter has issues that require drugs. Really? Where'd you find that out?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't find that out in the Word of God. You're walking in the counsel of the ungodly.
You're
watching Dr. Phil instead of reading the Bible.
That's a lot of going on. Or Oprah.
Or Oprah, the Antichrist. Okay?
The witch. No,
the
she's
witch,
a witch
from hell. Yeah. And that's nonsense.
Well,
she's
blind.
Yeah,
again,
she
needs to hear. Her grandmother. Her grandmother was godly. So
who?
Her grandmother.
Oh,
apparently.
Yeah.
But
well,
anyway,
yeah.
Many will go and they'll try Jesus' disciples, and they won't be cured. Uh-huh. And then they think that they need to now turn to the world. But look at what happened when the Lord was walking the earth. When he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration and came down, they brought a man to him which they could not heal. And what was the Lord saying? Some of these must come out through what? Prayer
and fasting. Yes.
So they don't prayer and fast.
Pray and fast.
They just go to take it to a disciple, and the disciple tries this, proclaiming and praying, and nothing happens. So instead of taking the next step and wondering why it didn't happen, well, this, what their ailment is in the son and daughter, may be the fact that they need one of those that does not come out. In other words, there's no healing. There's no fullness, no rightness, soundness made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you look at the description of what was going on at that time, there was no soundness made because there was no prayer or fasting.
That's right. This kind, of unbelief,
yes,
sickness and devil, I guess you could say,
and flipping back and forth, right? They were unstable.
And it's interesting that's Matthew's Gospel 17:21. That's missing from the corrupted new versions.
I just had to throw that in there. That won't cost you nothing.
Matthew 17. It's 21. Is that missing?
It's gone, baby. Who is it that didn't
want us? Oh, yeah, the prayer and fasting? Oh,
who
yeah,
is
and
it that didn't want us to know how to cast him out? You take one guess. If you got an iota of spiritual insight, you know that is Satan. Okay, so, you know, you hear all these excuses. I'm not going to vary. I'm going to stay with the Word of God. You cut my head off. I don't care. But all this, they throw all kinds of, well, you don't understand. You're being cruel. No, you're being cruel to your own child if you're drugging this child. That's why we got this epidemic. You know, somebody needs to write a book called The Drugging of America.
There's a commandment.
Are,
there's
actually
a commandment from the Lord. Do not hinder the children.
Suffer not the children to come unto me.
Yeah. So by doing that, they are actually directly disobeying Christ.
They're casting a stumbling block, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Instead of bringing them to Jesus.
Yes.
And teaching them to trust Jesus. You could take just as much energy and time to teach your child to trust Jesus by giving them the Word.
And doing the same.
Faith coming how? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You should be saturating those around you, including and especially your precious babies. My little boy, he got saved at 4 and a half. Shocked me. But I was praying over him and speaking the Word over him from the time of inception in his mama's womb.
That's amazing. My son is doing the very same with his children. And they were praying over and reading the Word of God while the baby was in mama's womb.
And it, you know,
and they're all saved.
Pastor David, we're driving down the highway in New Orleans. I took him down there to visit where I grew up. Thank God he didn't have to grow up there, right? Amen. Go Tigers anyway. Oh, anyway. Okay. So we're driving down the highway, and that little 4 and a half year old face of that little blonde baby, we love our kids, don't we? I'm driving, and he goes, Daddy? I looked in the rearview. He goes, I want to get saved. And he's got a personality. He's very kind, but he's got leadership, big time personality. That's how God made him. What do? It doesn't matter if they're 4 and a half or 104 and a half. You pull over and pray with them. Well, he's still following Jesus now at 22. And so that's not always going to work out the same way. But if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. That word is going to, if he ever goes astray, he's going to be haunted by that word. But you have to give the Holy Spirit something to work with, and that's your duty, as God taught his people in Deuteronomy chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 11. You put the Word of God in that child's heart. You bathe him with the Scriptures and her, and you pray over them and demonstrate the joy of the Lord. That's one of the things I didn't want to do, Brother David, is teach my child religion. Like, it's rigid, it's unloving, it's not just, I was always dancing in front of him, and come on, let's sing this song, you know, pray a song, and memorizing Scripture with joy. You know, he had Scripture memorized when he was like 4 and a half, 5 years old. Lots of them.
Praise God.
And I'd say, son, what does Mark 10:27 say? Jesus, he'd stand like this and he'd go, Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And he's got dimples about that deep, so that was adorable. But he was embarrassing some of my friends that were grown adults and didn't have 5 scripture memorized. He had more than them. Okay, so anyway, psychobabble. We're complete in Christ, amen? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ, verse 3 of chapter 2, Colossians. Amen. We're established in Christ and becoming more and more established in Christ. We're complete in Christ. Everything else is a counterfeit. In whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. We're complete in him. Verse 9 and 10, as Brother David pointed out. Now beware, saints, lest any man spoil or ruin you through philosophy. Okay? And by the way, to those who would say, you don't understand, I've got issues. Well, Jesus came to die for these issues. Are you denying that he can make you whole? Paul's prayed that we'd be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. There it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Memorize it. Are you telling me Jesus can't make you whole? The one who made you? Spirit, soul, and body? Where's your faith? You see, it's you who doesn't know or understand, not believers. So true believers and disciples of Christ are adhering to his word, not psychologists, doctors of damnation, I call them. Okay, Jesus is the great physician. He demonstrated such, then he died. He's your healer. He demonstrated it by healing many, making many whole. Raised the dead, opened blinded eyes, amen? On and a walked on water. Came to make captives free, delights to do it. He demonstrated his healing power to make you whole, spirit, soul, and body. And then he died to procure such a blessing, to those who will simply come to him in repentance and faith. I love Psalm 107:20, brothers and sisters. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Psalm 107:20. If we limit the Lord, Psalm 78:41, we have sinned against God. Do you have an evil heart of unbelief? Hebrews 3:12-14. You say you're saved and you don't look anywhere, you don't look to Jesus for everything you need? I'm doubting you got faith to be that you got saving faith. I think you have an evil heart of unbelief. Brother, you're mean. No, I love you. Those that are mean are lying to you. Then you're going to stand before God and hear the words, "Depart from me, you cursed, in the everlasting fire." They're tickling your ears and leading you straight to hell. I don't care if your feelings are hurt. Repent and turn to the Lord, and then you're going to be refreshed. Amen? Your eternal soul is what matters. Acts 3:19, if you repent, he's going to refresh you and heal you. Lay down your life. How do I repent? Well, just lay down your life. Get before the Lord and cry out to him and turn your life over to him afresh. Amen? Okay. All right, let's go to the next question as we come in for a landing here. Colossians questions. Okay, this will be posted on the website under the Colossians category. Here it is. Of the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, what is becoming more cemented in your heart via the book of Colossians? Remember we talked about the sisterhood, if you will, of John 1, Colossians 1, and Hebrews 1. Amen, Brother David?
Amen.
Remember that? Which scripture of the divinity of Christ and the uniqueness of Jesus Christ in all of history stands out to you? Colossians 1, 16 and 17 is a good one, huh? You want to read that? Colossians 1, 16 and 17.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
The word consist means are held together. Can you read verse 18 too?
Yeah. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Amen. That word preeminence, I think it only appears there. And then it also appears in, interestingly enough, 3 John. Diotrephes, right, tried to have the preeminence.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that's 1:18. Then you got 2:18 and 19 where Paul here in Colossians is speaking of the false teachers. And this is how they're identified. They are not holding or upholding the head, capital H-E-A-D, that is Christ. So it's a sister passage, 1:18 and 2:18 and 19. Pretty easy to remember, isn't it? 1:18, 2:18, and 19 speaks of those who don't uphold Jesus as the head. Amen. The supreme head, the only one who bought the church with the price of his own precious blood. Amen. I couldn't agree more with that being so paramount. I memorized years ago, and I love this, all things were created by him and for him. Sister passage, or sister verse, Ephesians 3:9, God, speaking of the Father, created all things by Jesus Christ. It was literally Jesus that made and created all things.
There was one thing that hit me that I hadn't really noticed before, where it says that all things were created by him and for him, and earlier it says that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All these things were created by him and for him. But Satan has taken over the fallen world, thrones, the principalities and the powers, and yet they are, Christ has created them and they are created for him. But he is going to reconcile all of those things to himself in the end.
Amen.
And that, I had never realized that before. I'd always thought of the universe and, you know, the planets, and God created all this. He created human beings. He created everything. But I hadn't gone that extra mile.
It gives you the specifics here, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's everything, the principalities and the powers and the thrones, whether they're in heaven or whether they're on earth, they are for him. And even though they've been stolen by the thief, he has reconciled them to himself, and they will be his again, and he will be Lord of lords and King of kings.
Amen.
And nobody's going to stop that.
Every knee's going to bow, huh?
It's almost like it is like someone pretending to be the president who's not the president.
And he's deceiving people,
and he's deceiving people that he's still the president or a president, and he's not the president.
Illegitimate,
so,
right?
So Satan is an illegitimate ruler, even though he's allowed to. And I think, quite honestly, it just speaks to God's grace, man's free will, and God's patience with us.
That's it.
Why does evil exist? Input. Because God is being ever so patient, free will man, who is turning away from God.
Yes. And without the choice, right, between darkness and light.
Right.
You see, love has to be proven. When you go to marry a woman, you've chosen her out of all the women in the world. Same with you ladies. You've chosen, I'm going to accept this man's proposal. Even though there might be 20 or 30 guys standing in line for you. Mm-hmm. You know, there has to be the potential, if you will, electronically speaking, between the negative and the positive. You've got to make that choice. And you got one on each side of you. Hallelujah for the blessing of making the most important decision in our lives to receive and cling to and abide in the one who bled to purchase us to the Father.
Can the Lord even use our enemy to bring us to him?
Yes, he can.
He even says so.
Yes, some call the devil God's monkey, if you will, to express that point. All right, number four. Oh,
sorry. Can I, as we get ready to kind of wrap up here, can I move us down to number six?
Yeah, okay. Let's do that.
So six, in the Colossians questions, again, get that out at the website. The question is, what is being quickened in you concerning discerning false teachers, false philosophies, and the traditions of men? When we were going through this study a couple weeks ago, you were on this topic quite a bit.
Yes.
And I have to admit, I was a little shocked and kind of stopped in my footsteps there, because I had never considered most of the false teachers you were revealing as being false teachers. Yeah. That was brand new to me.
Yeah.
But as you were unpacking that, that was very eye-opening. So for those of you who are listening, if you have not heard the episode of 2 weeks ago, you want to go back and grab that. But I was just wondering if you could comment a little bit more on that for us here as we wrap up.
Absolutely. Great presentation there, Brother Jason. You know, we got two books, as I mentioned before, I want to point you to, because those are both motherload books on this topic. One of them is called Predators in Our Pulpits. Just absolute blockbuster on this topic. And then on the same topic with completely different, well, a lot of different aspects, is the book Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. Friend of mine's wife, it's a Jewish couple that have saved, they've been saved for many decades. She'd bring the book, Deceivers and False Prophets. She didn't have one. She says, I've been through this thing three or four times. She got every single word in the whole book underlined. There's so much scripture, as you use the word unpack. There's so much scripture we're unpacking that should have been unpacked. Anyway, from the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, like Jeremiah 23, Ezekiel 34, etc., that are just like mind-boggling. One of the things that's mind-boggling, brother, I think you'll agree based on what you said, is the fact that this is really completely ignored. Mm-hmm. You know, I was listening to a local pastor going through, of all things, and if anybody knows what it talks about in Hebrews chapter 3, the whole book of Hebrews, for that matter, this guy didn't even mention, he just skipped right over these verses that are teaching you that salvation is conditional, not unconditional. It's warning us over and over and over. As Colossians 2:8 that you point out is warning us to beware of the false teachers. Who are false teachers? Well, one of the things they're doing, and the main thing, is they're teaching false teaching. Something other than false doctrine, other than what the scriptures teach. So therefore, they're teaching another gospel and by another spirit, a demon, and it's another Jesus. And they're accursed, right? Galatians 1, 6 through 9.
Yes.
And the Bible is replete. All of the prophets warned about false prophets. Jesus warned. All of the writers of the New Testament warned over and over and over of false teachers. And he said, we're to mark them. It is the leaders of this people that cause them to err, go into error. And they that allow themselves to be led of them are destroyed. Isaiah 9, 16. Thank you for listening to this Safeguard Your Soul podcast. God bless you. And please avail yourself to the scripture-rich resources on safeguardyoursoul.com.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.